allow me to introduce our speaker for that, Professor Carol Baxter. So Dr. Carol Baxter is a diversity, inclusion and human rights consultant, and she has substantial experience and impact on equality and diversity policy and practice across a number of organizations and sectors, including health, sort of working as the head of equality, diversity and human rights at NHS employers. And so she's very well experienced and well versed in the ideas of diversity and inclusion, and so she was a very, very apt person, I think, to deliver the closing remarks at a conference of this nature. And we are so very pleased that she's been able to make it, and that she can join us today to give those closing remarks. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Carol Baxter. Welcome. Let's see, are you unmuted? I've just asked you to unmute, so.
Here we are, how's that?
Perfect.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for your lovely introduction. I'm not quite sure if I can contribute anything to such a meaningful and excellent event which has taken place today. I feel that with a level of brilliant speaking and rich content, I need to be as brief as possible, and I try to do that. By the same token, as somebody from the Windrush generation, I think a good place to start in terms of a contribution is to say that things have changed. Now, don't gasp, don't worry, I'm not going to say for the better. What I'm going to say is that things have changed in terms of our level of awareness in our communities, our level of articulateness in our community, our level of determination to address these issues. In my years of working as a campaigner and as as an advocate for race equality, one of the things I've seen is that level of growth, and that is really, really encouraging. And it indicated and demonstrated itself in today's events. My closing remarks, however, should really be about be focusing on the major themes and insights which have emerged for me, and some personal comments as an older established campaigner and advocate of equality. So I've tried to dip in and out of all the workshops, so I've got used to the technology, which has drained me dry, but I have dipped in to get some themes which I can then throw back at you here. Firstly, one of the first themes is that the whole event reminded me again of the complex nature of racism, a beast that it is, and why this struggle, in the words of Nelson Mandela, is our lives. Racism is complex. It's a complex social and political lever and a pulley that sets what was set up generations ago to continue working on behalf of white people at other people's expense. I made note of that. As we all know, this is, whether the white community know it or not, this is the case. It is still going to find a way to infect all of us, black or white, whether we are aware of it or not. And in our dealings with each other, it always impacts. In the wake of the horrific public murder of George Floyd, it may look like just hate, and I think a lot of us felt just that we were hated. But that masks the manifestation of a more subtle form of racism, which is the privilege of white people, the access they have, the ignorance that they're privileged to display, and the apathy and the willful blindness that they can use to reject our communities. So just going on to say that we all, black and white, are born into this, and it is like being born into air. It exists. I wanted to say that because for the first time, I had the privilege of sitting through so many different inputs, and the profound pervasiveness of racism came home to me as it cut across all the threads in our lives, health, education, and so on. I'm going to continue by saying that in navigating the field of racism, what I also thought about was the kind of stereotypes of us as Black people, which are so prevalent in our society. And I bet none of you can say you haven't experienced any of these. Being seen as a menace, especially if you're Black, yes, if you can put your hand up. Being seen as subhuman, and being seen as sick. And I heard with the health session being advised not to overemphasize our sickness, because it's already part of a stereotype. Being seen as an eternal child, childlike, become objects of ridicule, objects of pity and burden of charity, you know, penny for the Black babies, you know, the tin shaking to collect money to save our lives. As wholly innocent, whenever the television wants to portray us as good, it is a wholly innocent, someone who has no say or no voice. And then finally, I've said it before, as objects of pity and burden of charity. So to continue my awareness of racism as I sat listening to all these excellent workshops was that it was a set of socioeconomic traps and cultural values that are fired up every time we interact with the world. It is a thing we have to be, it's like a thing we have to be scooping out of the boat of our lives at every opportunity. It is hard work. But I was impressed as an old Windrush grandma about the way the language has changed. In my day, it was very much around the kind of basic things of bobbing and weaving and ducking and diving and fancy footwork that you did as a Black person working in a white organization. But I'm hearing really sophisticated terms now, like, inherent mindlessness of it, the selfishness and unsophisticated and sophisticated ways in which people talk about it. Things like linking our disparities to access and experience and outcomes, and the privilege white people have, and their willful blindness and intersectionality and hybridization. We didn't have those words in the past. We just knew that things were bad, and we could stand outside in Moss Side and shout, you know, Maggie, 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 out, out, out. We didn't have the language you have, and I'm really impressed when seeing that language coming through. I am speaking quickly, so you're going to miss half of what I've said, but I just wanted to say that's something I observed. Now I wanted to talk about some of the new skills that people, our communities have learned over the years. And I was so impressed with the technology of our young people, and how much I've learned just from engaging with this event today. It is really good to see people using technology in this way. And by the way, to be aware that our communities are leading, Black communities are leading the world on our adaptation to technologies, because we are dispersed over the world and we need to keep in touch. We are very sound at it. And also because you either get it right or you get it wrong. You know, where if it's sociology or a language, you can waffle your way through, but technology is something you either get right or you get wrong. We know that's how we're measured in society, so we're excelling in that field. So I want to move on quickly, I'm nearly there, to another thing that came to me with this event, is about the burning urgency of the work, and the type of conference today highlighted that by the very title. It's definitely a good descriptor, and I can only go quickly quote two people in reminding us of the urgency of the work, not only reminding us of the urgency of the work, but talking about the subtlety and the dexterity with which we have to deliver this work. I reminded of the words of Bob Marley, which says, if you know your history, then you know where you're coming from. So we've always got to be straddling both, you know, what's gone on in the past and what's coming for the future. And the other is a Dutch guy called Piet Hein, who says, to conquer the present suspiciously fast, you must smell of the future and stink of the past. That's always going to be our issue. And again, the conference epitomized that by the way he made those links between Windrush, with the young people, with the West Indian Sports and Social Club, and with the future. So my final words to you today was something which, again, this event today, but also the wider events of the last few months have brought to my attention. And that is how exhausting our work, the struggle can be. I've had many discussions with people younger and older than I am who said, I am burnt out with having to fight these battles, not just fighting COVID, but fighting this sort of horrific public murder in the US recently, and the other the aftermath of that in this country, to be worrying about our physical safety, and to be trying to use our energies to be creative in how we address it. It can be exhausting. For an older person like myself, and I'm nearly 70, I must add, older people such as myself have to balance now, leaving the young people like yourselves to fight on the front lines to protect. But we, as old people now, are balancing physical frontline work with giving our children, our grandchildren. So I have children to give them a chance, which my children probably missed out because I was busy on the front line. So I and myself being to make that choice, and withdrawing also an act of resistance, being able to stay home and say, oh, have a this part of the skin to laugh loud, like I didn't have a chance to do because I spent a lot of my life on personal life on the front line. So moving on, many people, let me just skip a bit so that the time doesn't take over. I just want to come to the end by saying, don't burn us out. I remember a comment by, I don't think anybody in the group is old enough to remember him, a Jamaican comedian called Ronnie Williams. And he says, he who fights and runs away, let me stop. That's not Ronnie Williams' comment. It's the after comment that's his. This quote is one you all know. It says, he who fights and runs away will live to fight another day. And then Ronnie Williams says, fighting, he doesn't get a running shot. So I'd like to, I was almost there, just inches away from the end of my part. What I was trying to say was, my ending words was that I was reminded of the words of, it wasn't a Jamaican poet. It was, it's probably the standard British phrase, which says, he who fights and runs away will live to fight another day. And that's my encouragement to us to look after ourselves and take a break sometimes from this, because it can drain us. But then one of our Jamaican comedians have said, puts it this way, he who fights and runs away will live to fight another day, providing you don't get shot. So be careful when you're running away that you don't get thrown by a running shot. I'd like to thank you for inviting me, and again, congratulate all of us on a fantastic event. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you ever so much for joining us and for delivering such lovely closing remarks. You definitely, of course, you added something great to the conversation, and we're really, really happy to have you. And I think on, you know, that note, on a really uplifting note, is a really nice way for us to end the conference. So yes, as I was saying previously, thank you to everyone who has spoken. Thank you to all our chairs as well. And also thank you to you all for attending. Like I said, I hope you found something good coming from this. And please also do let us know your thoughts about how the conference went, what you might like to see at future conferences. Feel free to email the channel's research group. We might not be able to reply to everybody individually, but we will take your feedback on board. So we are channels research group, all one word, @gmail.com. So yes, we're going to have some music, I think, to play us out at the end. And I would like you all to have a brilliant rest of your Windrush day. And thanks again for attending, and stay blessed. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.